Any of you come to church this morning and you are discouraged? You don't have to put your hand up. I did. Yeah? Well, a couple of them. How many of you would like to be encouraged today? Laurel, don't tell them what to do. Jesus just let his disciples in on some information that greatly discouraged them. Matter of fact, they were so discouraged that Jesus said this to them. He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." And then later on, Jesus would say this. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John chapter 14, verses 1 to 4 and verse 6. You may be here this morning and say, "Well, Pastor, that's great to look ahead, but I want to be encouraged now. I want to be encouraged today." And if you continue on in John chapter 14, you will hear Jesus continue to encourage them by saying this. He said, And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, counselor being the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. Verse 16. And then Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans," in verse 18. Then Jesus goes on to tell them what the Holy Spirit will do for them. He says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you," in verse 26. Later on, Jesus is still talking to the disciples, and he says this about the Holy Spirit. He says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belong to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." John chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. And then in the New King James Version, verse 14, Jesus says this, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." John 14, verse 16. Now, when he says the word helper, he's referring to, he has the idea of an enabler in a good way. Enabler in a good way. One who will strengthen you. One who will help you and equip you to do all the things that God has planned for you to do. That is why we can have confidence. Confidence that whatever God asks you to do, God will empower you through the Holy Spirit to do it. So be encouraged, because this morning, even though the world around us seems like it's going to blow up, seems like even though maybe in your world today it seems like it's out of control, be encouraged, because God has everything under control. One of the ways that the Holy Spirit enables us is by giving us spiritual gifts. We're in a series, for you that are visiting us, we're in a series looking at the motivational gifts found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. And what we're going to do this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand again, and I want to read this passage responsively this morning. So if you would stand with me, I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, I'll do 3 till we get to the end of the passage. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Sorry, that was my fault. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others.
We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith.
If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. Romans chapter 12, verse 1-8. You may be seated. Last Sunday, we started looking at this motivational gift or the spiritual gift of giving. And as we go through the different spiritual gifts, we're looking at different characters in the Bible, New Testament, that would maybe exhibit these kind of gifts. Do you remember who we said probably had the gift of giving? What New Testament character?
Matthew.
And why is that ironic? He was a tax collector. Before he got saved, his gift was taking money from people, taking stuff. But when he came to Christ, that gift, when he put it under the control of the Holy Spirit, started showing up in his life all over. If you weren't with us last week, then you can see Bree in the back, and she can give you a copy of a CD of this, or you can go online and listen to this whole series if you've missed any of them, and be happy to do that. But in review, when we're looking at my top 10 things, my top 10 characteristics of people that have the gift of giving when they're walking in the Spirit. Last week I gave you 5. Quick review. Number 1, if you have the gift of giving, one of the characteristics of having that gift when you're walking in the Spirit is that they love to give. I told you last week, I have a wife that just has a passion to save. And because she loves to save, that gives us opportunities to even use our gifts of giving even more. Secondly, they like to reinvest. They love to give to people or to Christians that they have had the opportunity to minister with or minister to. Thirdly, they love to give quality things. You don't have to worry. When they're walking in the Spirit, you don't have to worry about them showing up at your house with junk. They're going to give you good things. They value you, and they want you to know that by the gifts that they give to you. Number 4, they love to be an answer to prayer. The person that has the gift of giving, when they're walking in the Spirit, you don't have to worry about you don't have to beg with them or plead with them to give to a cause. If they feel the urging from God, they want to help because they love being an answer to people's prayers. Then the last thing we looked at last week was this. They love to give secretly. They love to give secretly. They don't need a building named after them. They don't need to be made of. They get their fulfillment by realizing that God is using them to meet needs. So today, what we're going to do is finish my top 10 list. Again, let me remind you, if you have the gift of giving and you don't do all 10 of these things, it doesn't mean that you're not spiritual. It doesn't mean that you don't have the gift of giving. This is an overview of what it looks like when you're walking in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit has given you the gift of giving. Now, sometimes we have different gifts. And sometimes those gifts, when they interact with each other, some of the characteristics are different. But this is an overview. And you should see these tendencies in your life if you have that spiritual gift. So, number 6, if you're taking notes, is this. They love to give without pressure. They love to give without pressure. You will notice that our church, if you've been here for any time at all, we don't ask a lot. We don't ask for money, very rarely. Very rarely do we mention finances. One thing we do And once a month, we'll put in the budget our financial status. Today happens to be that day. And you that are members, you that are regular attenders, you need to take a look at that, because that tells you where we are financially. But we don't beg for money. We don't plead for money. We don't try to guilt people into giving. I don't like it, and I assume other people don't like it as well. But have you ever heard Christian radio or TV programs say, if you don't give your gift today, we're going to have to cut back on some of our stations? Did you ever hear that? Or they will say, if you don't send in your gift today of $10 or $20 or $100, we will have to go off the air. You know what the person with the gift of giving says? If they haven't ministered with that particular ministry, or if they haven't been ministered to by that particular ministry, you know what they say? See ya. Goodbye. If you gotta go, so long. See, this kind of pressure does not move the person with the gift of giving to give. Because the person that has walked with God and has the gift of giving, they believe that if God is in this ministry, God is going to provide for this ministry. They are a believer that God always enables us to do the very things that God asks of us. See, God doesn't need us begging or pleading or pressuring people to give. When the person with the gift of giving feels this pressure, he's going to turn his back on them, no matter how much money he may have to give. Now, let me just say this. That doesn't mean that the person with the gift of giving doesn't want to know about needs. It doesn't mean that he doesn't want people to come up to him and share what's going on in their lives. But there's a difference between letting you know about a need and begging or pleading or pressuring you to give to that need. So they love to give, but without pressure. Number seven, they love to protect you. The person with the gift of giving, when they're walking in the Spirit, they love to protect you. The person with the gift of giving is careful about giving and not enabling. If someone is poor in handling their money, is making unwise investments, or won't work, don't expect the person with the gift of giving to give them any money. They're willing to help. They might even be willing to go through a Dave Ramsey program with you. But if you want their money and are unwilling to change, you won't get it. They know that enabling you to continue in the way you are is not helpful to you. They also know that money corrupts. Money in itself is neither, it's amoral. It's neither good or bad. The Bible says this about money, though. It says the love of money is at the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. 2 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. See, money in itself is not bad. It becomes bad when you live for money or love money, that money becomes an issue. I'm sure many people, many of you older people, know people like this. They get saved, and they don't have a lot of money, or they're upside down in their finances. Even though, humanly speaking, it doesn't make sense, they're encouraged as new believers to begin tithing. They do that, and they start seeing God meeting their needs. They see God helping them get ahead of their debt. They're now able to start putting money aside, putting the money in their emergency fund, or put money in places to take care of, to lower their debt. And then what happens? Well, too often, they drop out of church. And you don't see them as often. And the things they were doing financially to turn themselves around, they stop doing. And when that happens, then you're reminded You're reminded how deceitful and how corrupting money can become. Because these people, their reliance has moved from reliance on God back to reliance on their money. Think about this with me. How much is 10% of $100? Very good, class. How about 10% of $500? 50. How about 10% of $1,000? 100. Now, I'll make it a little more difficult for you. Not really. What is 90% of $100? $90. What is 90% of 500? How much? 45. No, not 45. Hey, you know what? If you say that to me again, I was in the way. I know what you were telling me. You were saying, get out of the way, Brian, or something like that. 10% of $500 is 450. How much is, no, excuse me, 90%. How much is 90% of 1,000?
900.
Very good. See, I stepped out of the way so you could see it. I know. I'm here for you, Larry. Really? Who else is sitting in your row? Why don't you move over there? We'll talk about it after church. I know. I know. I'm supposed to give in to my elders. I know that. Anyway, my question is this. Who in their right mind wouldn't take a job like that? Where someone says, listen, I'm going to give you $1,000 a week. I'm just going to give it to you. But the only thing you have to do is give me back 10%. Just give me 100. I'll give you 1,000, just give me 100. Who wouldn't like to have a person like that in their lives? Yeah, we all would, right? What happens is that we allow Satan to convince us that not only do we need the 90%, we also need God's 10% to live. We move our reliance from God and we place it in money. We miss out, and when we do that, we miss out on the fellowship that comes with trusting God. We miss out on God speaking to us and telling us how we should spend our money. See, not everyone can handle an excess of money. Because they will give in to the corruption it can bring. The Bible warns us, and it says, and some people, craving money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. See, the person with the gift of giving, they understand that money is not the answer. Reliance on God is. Dependency on God is the answer, and money is just a tool that God uses. So even if the person with the gift of money, with the gift of giving, I'm sorry, gift of money, that would be illegal, I think. But the person with the gift of giving, even when they have money to give to you, they will not, if they feel that it will lead you to giving in to the lies of Satan. They love to give to you, but they're more concerned about protecting you. Number 8, they love to give, so you will give. The person walking in the Spirit with the gift of giving, they love to give, so you will give. You know, when you think about it, we're all givers. Every one of us gives our money away for different reasons. Some of us give monthly payments to our credit cards every month because we've spent more money than we had. Yeah, that is true. Thank you. Some of us give to DirecTV or our cable systems because we want to watch TV. Some of us give our money to Shaw's and Market Basket because we like to eat. Some of us give to Ford Motor Credit so that we can have a new car. Each one of us, and you can put your own things in there, but each one of us is giving money away every week to someone or something. The person with the gift of giving may also give to some of these things too. But they feel most fulfilled when their giving motivates others to give. See, it isn't how much you give to someone, but when God impresses upon you to give to someone, it gives you an opportunity, especially with a person with the gift of giving. For them, they're thinking, it gives me an opportunity to share how God has given to me. I mentioned this before. When Judy and I were in Bible school, we went with $100 and two kids and things to pay for when we got there and things to pay for every month after we were there. Yet during that year, we were able to give other students things that students that had less than we did. Many times we gave without people knowing. But there were times when we gave to people and they said, Brian, Judy, you can't afford to do that. You can't do that for us. Well, we were able to share stories how God had blessed us and how God had met our needs because we gave when He told us to. The person with the gift of giving, when they are walking in the Spirit, doesn't mind giving sacrificially because they have seen God prove Himself faithful over and over and over and over again to them. And because they have seen God's faithfulness, they can share the blessing with others with the hopes that God will use their testimony to encourage others to trust God and give. You need to know that you don't have to be poor to give sacrificially. You may have a lot of money, but God moves in your heart that you need to give. So you might decide just to put off buying that new car for a while. You may wait to get that second house or that new carpet in your existing house. Well, when God moves in your heart, you may just put off that vacation for a few months. And you make the decision not to buy those things so that you can give the money to that missionary in need or that person that is going through a difficult time or whoever it might be that God has laid on your heart to give to. You're sacrificing. You are putting your own personal wants on hold so that you can give to someone else. And the person that has the gift of giving, when they're walking in the Spirit, they love to do it because they love to give so that you can give. And then number 9, they love to find ways to give. They love to find ways to give. Over our years in ministry, God has brought some wonderful people into our lives. There have also been times in our ministry when we had financial needs or other needs. And me, probably more than Judy, we would see God would bring people into our lives and friends and stuff. And I would think, you know what? Those people, they could help us. They could help us with this need, or they could help us in this area, or they could do this. And you know what? I would say probably 99.9% of the time, God never used my ideas. Matter of fact, God has never even asked my opinion on anything. And many times, we found on many occasions that the people that would help us were not the ones that gave out of excess. Many times the people that helped us were the ones that gave out of their need. And they think, the person with the gift of giving thinks creatively on ways that they can give. People with the gift of giving love to give. And when God impresses upon them to give and they're walking in the Spirit, they will do whatever is needed to follow through on that urging. Now, you don't have to answer these questions, only to yourself, because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But let me ask you this. How much stuff do we have in our homes that we just move from one spot to another? right? Okay, when you're laughing, that kind of gives it away. All right, you didn't raise your hand, but we heard you laughing. How many clothes did you go through today that you don't wear to get to the clothes that you do wear? Now, I don't want this to be a sexist comment, but ladies, how many pairs of shoes do you have, right? Yeah. Pat said it was okay to say that. Or you guys, how many things have we kept for no other reason than it had some sentimental value in our life at some point, even though it may be years ago? Have you ever thought how much money is spent every month on storage units across the United States? I mean, it's crazy. People pay to keep stuff that they never use, but they have stuff. Yeah, so they can get more stuff and put it back in the storage unit. Yeah. The person with the gift of giving, if they don't have money to give, they will get creative. Maybe they will give some of their excess stuff together. Maybe they'll get some of it together and just sell it. Maybe they'll get a part-time job. Maybe they'll stop getting coffee at McDonald's for a couple months. They will look for ways to meet financial needs in the lives of others that many, without the gift of giving, would never consider. And then number 10, and this is the last one. They love confirmation. The person with the gift of giving, when they're walking in the Spirit, they want to be sure that they're walking in the Spirit. They want to be sure that they're following. Because see, for me, and I can only say for me, but I'm guessing that most people with the gift of giving, many times I just love to give, whether I'm walking in the flesh or walking in the Spirit. I just love to give. So I need confirmation that I'm following God and not myself, my own self-ambitions. I have to tell you, over the years, I have given many times walking in the flesh. I would give money away and not tell Judy. I've sold things to people and said, you know what, just pay me when you can at the expense of my family. I have found that when I want to give and I'm walking in the Spirit, I'll always check in with Judy to see what she thinks. I have come to realize that if God is in something, He will also confirm it in Judy's heart. And if she doesn't feel that way, then I need to wait before I move ahead. Either to give God the opportunity to change Judy's heart, which at that moment I think He needs to, or to give God the opportunity to change my heart, which at that moment Judy thinks He needs to. But see, God will never call a husband in one direction and a wife in another. When Judy and I are in agreement, then God has confirmed to me that this is the right thing to do. And if you're here this morning, and I know some of you are, you are married to someone that's either not a Christian or someone that claims to be a Christian, but they're not walking with God. My encouragement to you is to find another person of the same sex and start praying with them and asking them to confirm what they're doing is from God. What you're doing is from God. The gift of giving. For me, I have found it to be a wonderful thing because that's how God has wired me. That is how God has made me. And however, whatever gift you've got, however God has gifted you, when you are walking in the Spirit, you too will feel rewarded. You too will feel fulfilled. Because when you and I use our gifts as God designed them to be used, there's nothing we can do that is more fulfilling. As I said last week, all of us may not have the motivational gift of giving, but we all are commanded to give. It doesn't matter if you're poor or rich. And understand this, giving is not just limited to money. It can include our time, like these counselors. that give up their summer where they could probably make a lot of money. Well, I don't know what the YMCA, maybe they pay a lot of money, but my guess would be probably not, right? Just like them. Some of those counselors are giving up their summers where they could be making a lot of money to make a difference in the lives of other girls. So it doesn't have to be money. It can be our time, our talents, our energy, our creativity. And it might be material possessions, but something of value we can give to the receiver. But you got to remember this too, and we'll kind of wind her up with this thought, a couple of thoughts here. You got to remember this too. Whatever gift you have, it has to include the body. It has to include the body of Christ. God has gifted you to serve the body. Everything we have as believers belongs to God. Whether you have the spiritual gift of giving or whether you have another spiritual gift, you and I are to give it all to Him, to use as He, as God, deems best. See, it is when we find our place in the body of Christ that we feel the most fulfilled. As we started this message last week, it's when you and I give it all to God to use as He desires, to use in this body, is when we become the most fulfilled. It's then that you and I find God's purpose in our lives. It is only then that we will find true fulfillment and the greatest satisfaction we could ever experience. See, as we read earlier in Romans 12 this morning, our spiritual gifts are all about serving others. As we lose our life in obedience to God, we'll truly find it. And what we find, for most of us, is the very thing we've been looking for all our lives. I want to close with one story, and it's a story that the girls, many of the girls, some of the girls heard at a ladies' retreat. See, it's important to know what your spiritual gift is. That's important, because that will explain to you how you function, why you function like you do, and why other people function like they do. That's important. But unless you and I are willing to give everything we have to God, then it really doesn't matter how God has gifted us. Here is a story of one person that not only heard God tell her to do something, but she obeyed even though she didn't want to. And because she obeyed, it not only changed the person's life that she served, but it also changed her life as well. And it changed her life forever.
I want to tell you a story that I told many, many years ago that remains dear to me, particularly because people bring it back up to me over and over again. It's probably the thing I've been asked about as much as anything regarding stories and Bible studies along the years. But it's such a statement in my own life and such a memory of God overtaking me and enabling me to do something I couldn't do. You have no idea how dangerous you would be if you would live filled to the measure with the fullness of Christ. I was headed off to the east side of the country to Asheville, North Carolina to speak. So I was having to go to a part of the airport that was just one large room where you went off into several different halls down to the smaller plane. So it was for a small airport and a small part of the terminal. It was packed, absolutely packed. And our chairs were all facing one another. And suddenly I see that the eyes of all the people against the wall are watching something behind me. And it was like a movie because all of their eyes shifted this way, this big around, and they began to come this way. Whatever it was going right behind me. And I'm thinking, oh, I wish I were looking. Are you like that? I'm a people watcher. I was so desperately thought, what are they looking at? And I can't wait to look for myself until it comes all the way around here. And then suddenly in my peripheral vision, I begin to see a little of it. And it is a flight hostess that is pushing up a man in a wheelchair right to the end of my row. And there's nobody between us. And this place is packed. So I want you to know that Jesus went to a significant amount of trouble to make sure that I saw this man. So I wait until everybody else gets more polite, and then I go. And when I look over at him, he was the oddest sight. He looked like he was not one iota less than about 129, and I'm not kidding. This was the oldest looking person I had ever seen. Not only that, but he had gray hair that was down to here. His fingernails were every bit as long as mine. He was clean. But it's just an odd sight. His pants, it looked like that he had obviously lost a lot of weight because they were just bunched up. I'll never forget how he looked, and he was just, his head was just hanging down like this, and his hair was in strings like this, huh? This is how much God thinks of us just memorizing scripture but not doing anything with it. Because the Lord begins to compel my heart. Overwhelms me. Overwhelms me. Well, I have learned, I've walked with him a long time. I knew by now, that is scary. God is up to something when he is overwhelming your heart like that. And I just thought, oh, please, God, no. Oh, please. Please, God, no. Because I'm already knowing he wants me to witness to this man. And so I say to myself in my spirit, now I'm not talking out loud, but in my spirit, I'm talking to God silently, and I'm saying, I'm sure my mouth is going, because I say to him, do not make me witness to that man. And now I'm going to tell you, as clear as I'm talking to you now, the Lord spoke to my heart. The very few times I've ever heard God be this articulate with me. And I'm telling you word for word, these words came into my heart. I'm not asking you to witness to him. I'm asking you to brush his hair. Lord, that man needs witnessing too. What good is combed hair if a man is lost? And I can tell, Lord, that man, I am your witness. I am your witness. I am your witness. I am your girl. Me. Me. I got the Roman road. Amen. Still in my heart. I mean, we are just having a fight. I didn't tell you to witness to him. I told you to brush his hair. I thought, I don't have a hairbrush. No, I fix my hair. And then it's done for the day until I unfix it. And the brush is in the luggage. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I said, I don't even have a hairbrush. And the Lord's still compelling me. So I get up, walk over, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't even have a hairbrush. You know, I was supposed to be thoroughly equipped under all good work. I do not have a hairbrush. I walk over, I get right in front of the man. His head's hanging down like this. I lean down like this. I said, sir, may I have the honor of brushing your hair? And he says, what? A little louder. Sir, may I have the honor of brushing your hair? He goes, little lady, if you want me to hear you, you're going to have to speak up. Sir, may I have the privilege of brushing your hair? To which everyone in the airport goes, whoa! And I can feel every eye just piercing me just like this. And I'm just humiliated. And he looks at me and says, if you want to. And I'm going, I don't. I don't want to. I went, yes, sir. I would absolutely love to. But my problem is, I don't have a hairbrush. He says, I have a hairbrush. He said, it's back in my bag. So I go all the way around the wheelchair. His bag is on the back of it like this. I get down on my knees. I unzip this little duffel bag, and I start pulling out his clean undershirts, his pair of pajamas, all sorts of things. And as I do, I cannot tell you the feeling that overwhelms me. I'm just flooded with the love of Christ. I found the hairbrush. It's one of those real old bristle ones. Doesn't look anything like our brushes do now. And when I stood up, I began then. I went over to him, and I thought, you know, to tell you the truth, this is what I'm good at. I had two girls. I'm good at this. So I just came and I just began to brush his hair, and it was so matted that I couldn't even believe it. And so I had to get down to the very bottom of it, and I just brushed the very ends of it. And then just a little bit, it took us forever. And I want to tell you, I was oblivious to everybody else in that room. At that point, nobody else was alive to me. I just kept brushing and kept brushing until that hair was as smooth as silk. I went back around to him and squatted down in front of him, put my hands on his hands. They were on his knees. His head was just like that. And I said, "Sir, do you know Jesus?" And he said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Well, of course you do." That figures. I wanted to share the gospel with you. But no, you need your hair brushed. And he told me that his old bride of so many years would not marry him until he came to know Christ. And he said, "I was just sitting here thinking to myself," and he wept. I'm about to cry telling you. He said, "I was just sitting here thinking what a mess I must be for my bride." He'd been in that hospital for months, and he was about to return back home. Nobody had cut his hair or anything. I don't know how long it had been since he'd been brushed. That hostess came and put him on the plane, and she came back out, and she was crying. I mean, hard. And she said, "What made you do that?" And I said, "Jesus, he's the bossiest thing." She did need Christ, so I did get to talk to her. He knows what our need is. Man didn't need witnessing to, he needed his hair brushed. When we are filled to the measure with the fullness of Christ, you sweet thing, you cannot believe the needs we can meet. We can do what we know we can. And while you're doing it, you're just thinking, "That ain't me. That really ain't me." No. It's God.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at Life Today.
See, that only happened to us when we fully give ourselves to God. As we get involved with the body of Christ, as we allow God to use those gifts that He has given us for others, is when we truly will be fulfilled. It's not until then that we can really thrive in this relationship with Christ. Now, God may never ask you to brush someone's hair, but there are other things that God's asking you to do. And you're not doing them because you're refusing to. Or you're walking in the flesh and you're doing it for wrong reasons. My friends, I encourage you today, whether it's the gift of giving or whether it's some other gift, we need to be using them. If you're in my Sunday school class this morning, we were reminded how short a time we have to use the things that God has given us to do. So my encouragement to you this morning is, no matter what your spiritual gift is, no matter what God asks you to do, it's not until we give everything to Him that we'll thrive. And we want to close with that song this morning. So I'm going